Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, along with your host, psychologist, and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. Today, we're going to pick up on a conversation about pornography that we began yesterday. Before you ask the first question, Dr. Dobson, I'm going to tell our listeners a little bit about our guest. Patrick Truman is a lawyer and the president and CEO of Morality in Media. Mr. Truman also served as the chief of the criminal division of the Child Exploitations and Obscenities Section within the U.S. Department of Justice, and has made it his mission to continue the war on pornography even to this day. He is married to his wife, Laura, and they have three grown children, Patrick, Claire, and Elizabeth.
Well, Patrick, thank you for being with us again today. I admire you and have for many years, and you have a great heart for decency and righteousness, and that's what I have appreciated. Why else would you be willing to fight pornography and obscenity through most of your adult life? You're an attorney. You could make a living in a lot of different ways. Why have you devoted yourself to this struggle?
My parents instilled in me two things, purity and holiness. And if you study the New Testament, you see that Jesus was tempted by many things, but he never allowed Satan to tempt him to impurity. He so detests it.
Yes.
If we want a good marriage, if we want a good childhood, if we want a good life, purity is so close to God's heart. That's where we need to be. And in every area of our life, whether it's television or any other means of entertainment, purity has to rule. And we have to turn our eyes, give them to God. Mm-hmm. And so this area of work is a delight to me.
Because you feel like you can make a difference.
Yes.
There.
Yes.
Well, it's a tough struggle, I can tell you. And I spent 18 months on a pornography commission, and that's all I wanted of it, I can tell you. Dr. Meeker, you're dealing with families. You're dealing with children in
yes.
your practice all the time. And you see every issue and every behavioral problem and medical problem that comes along. Talk about pornography from that perspective. You're dealing with adolescents too, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I deal with adolescents and with younger kids. And when we think about pornography, I happen on it or end up talking about it in my practice from a couple different ways. You know, sometimes a mom will come in with a young boy, 11, 12, 13 years old, that she suspects is watching pornography. And very quickly in young children, these become very compulsive behaviors. Pornography is not something that a 13-year-old boy will sit down and watch once a day. You know, once boys get on it, they watch it over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
And as you said, until they get to the point where they have to watch harder and harder pornography. One of the things that's deeply concerning to me is the number of children now who are living in homes with mom's boyfriend, dad and his girlfriend, and you've got that level of brokenness going on. And in my experience, in situations like that, there is pornography often associated with any kind of sexual abuse going on in that situation. So I'm seeing girls victimized by men who often aren't their dads. So, you know, it's not just the direct effect on my patient, but it's the effect of the brokenness of the home. So, and then you couple that with the fact that many kids will just sit down to do their homework, or they're working on the internet at school. I hear this often too. You know, a fourth grader was doing a report at school and something came up on the internet and the child was really traumatized. And when I deal with these kids, I'm really dealing with traumatized children, because this isn't fun for kids. This isn't just titillating pleasure. This is traumatizing to children, even just to view it. Because remember, their brains are not adult brains. And you describe how traumatizing it was for you, Dr. Dobson, having to look at these images, you know, during that 18 months. Imagine being a child and seeing some of these things. It's really hard to undo the damage that is done to a child after visualizing or experiencing the sexual abuse by a perpetrator who has been viewing pornography. It's really, really dark stuff.
Well, talk to the mother who is cleaning the room of her son. This is the scenario you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And finds a stack of really pretty hardcore stuff there. What does she do about it?
Well, first of all, she's got to respond in her own way because it's hard for her. And she's got to sort of settle down and deal with her feelings and figure out, okay, this is a very serious problem. So once she gets over the shock of it, she needs to really sit down with the boy. And if dad is in the picture, which I hope he is, she needs to go to dad. They need to talk it through. And then they need to sit down face to face with that boy and say, this is very, very serious stuff. I think one of the tough things that I deal with parents is parents feel that they don't have the right to go through their kids' rooms, their phones, their computers. And I said, that is absolutely false. If your child is living in your home and they're 18 years of age and under, you have to have full access to messages, to everything on their computer, in their room, on their iPhones, on their iPad, for protection for the child. It's not an invasion of privacy, but many parents feel, you know, I don't want to invade my child's privacy. I need to honor that. No, you don't, because this is a very serious issue of protecting your children.
Mm-hmm. I have a list of harms of pornography in the relationship with family life. And let me read eight of them. This is adults 18 years of age and older who have experienced this stuff. There's greater acceptance of sex before marriage and sex outside of marriage for married individuals. Having more sexual partners. Three, rating partners as being less attractive and being less satisfied with their partner's sexual performance. Number four, trying to get partners to act out scenes from pornographic films. Number five, they're more likely to have an affair and more likely to go to prostitution for gratification. Number six, less child-centeredness during marriage and reduced desire for female children. Number seven, believing that you don't need to restrict pornography from children. That one really does bother me. And number eight, it can lead to erectile dysfunction because of the overexposure to these images of perfection and less stimulation in a normal way. You have studied these, haven't you, Patrick?
Yes. And you could go on and on, of course, Dr. Dobson, and from your experience and what you hear from your listeners, I'm sure is you could go on for a long time. But one thing that struck me over the last year, there was a report out of the UK that points out that they can identify 4,500 children who have become sexual deviants, sexual predators of other children tied to that child's pornography use. 4,500 that they can identify linked to pornography.
Wow.
Now, that's a nation of 62 million. We're a nation of 300 million. Child-on-child sexual abuse used to be virtually unheard of in this country. Now it's fairly prominent. And so, you know, what do we expect when our 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, 14-year-old kids look at pornography? They do just what those studies that you show.
Yeah.
They want to act out what they see. And where do they mm-hmm. act out? They're acting out with children.
When you talk about it that way, you can really classify it as sexual abuse. Because when I'm talking with a parent of a child who's underage, 5, 6, 7 years of age, and they're acting out sexually, you know that child has been abused because they wouldn't imitate sexual acts just, mm-hmm. you know, from their own mind. They'd have seen it. And often we say, well, they'd seen it because they'd experienced it in person. But if they've seen it just in pornography, then that qualifies pornography as sexual abuse against the child. So it doesn't have to be a person abusing the child to get him to imitate it. Just looking at it can get him to imitate it.
There is so much to talk about here. I wrote about a relationship between a husband and wife where the man is heavily into pornography and what the woman does about it. That's a tough one because it is so difficult for him to quit, to get out of it. And treatment is such a long ordeal that she's really forced with divorcing him or leaving him. And that is going to disrupt the whole family and the children and everything else. So this is a tough one. Go to my book, Love Must Be Tough, and you'll find my answer to that. I don't want to devote the whole program to that, but what I think a woman ought to do about that. Now, Pat, let's talk about you and about what you're doing now. You are president of Morality and Media, and that has gone on to a coalition against pornography. Explain that.
Well, for 52 years, Morality and Media has been in existence. Now, the name is, you know, people think, well, we just do, we watch TV and see what's in the media. That's not what we do. It's an anti-pornography group. But we knew 4 years ago when I took over the organization, instinctively we knew we can't win the war on pornography as Morality and Media. We need all these other groups, all these people from various professions joining into a coalition effort. And we've had a loose coalition going for several years, but now we're putting it into orbit. And we're starting on May 16 and 17 at a conference that we're holding in the Washington, D.C. area, the Coalition to End Sexual Exploitation. Now, that coalition will have groups like Family Research Council, Concerned Women for America, state groups all across the country, therapists, etc. What we're doing is constructing a coalition to fight against pornography and all sexual exploitation. And people, if they want to be part of this or part of the activities that are fighting against pornography, or if you need help, you know, our website is widely used. It's called pornharms.com. It's a pretty good website. But pornharms.com has all the information about the coalition and the conference, because what people know is that they just can't fight it in their own family. They need solutions. And I'll give you one example. Last year, I was with the top executive at one of the filtering companies that provides filtering software to keep pornography off your computer and other devices. And I asked this person, what percentage of households do you think completely block out pornography? This won't surprise you, Jim, but it'll surprise some of our audience. This fellow said, and he's an expert, about 5% of families protect the house.
Unbelievable.
5%. So, on our website, you know, we give several solutions to that, because I have so many parents tell me, gee, Mike, we had blocking software on the household computer, but my son got pornography on dad's iPad. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Should that surprise you? Your son is going to find pornography wherever it is in the house. In fact, right. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children says the number one place that our children get exposed to pornography is in the home.
Oh, my.
So we have to lock up the house.
Yeah, and even if it's locked, they find it.
They
if
go
it's
to their
in
neighbors.
The trunk, if it's in the garage, they find it.
That's right.
Get rid
Get
of it.
Get rid of it. Get rid of it.
Well, you know, when you had originally asked about the mother finding pornography in her son's room, what does she do? And I got a little sidetracked. In my experience, the cases that I've handled with that have all led to boys going into needing psychiatric help, because the compulsive behaviors were so rampant. And usually what mom finds is just the tip of the iceberg. And so it's really very serious stuff in these young children.
Mm. Patrick, you're an attorney. You've been involved in the fight against pornography for a long, long time. Is there any hope?
Yes, Jim, there's a lot of hope, and it comes through the harm that is now so widespread. But anyone in your audience who has experienced harm, either personally or their children, etc., there is hope. There's so many religious ministries that are in this field to help. There's so many psychiatrists, psychologists who have gotten trained up on how to help couples through this, how to help individuals. On our website, you'll see many, many groups that offer help. The website is pornharms.com. Look at the resources section. And there's also help on there on how to prevent pornography from getting into your home and your public library and et cetera. There's a lot of hope, and it's really snowballing. I was just at a conference a week ago of Christian therapists dealing with pornography addiction. Mm. This didn't exist a couple of years ago, Jim.
Yeah. You said something either earlier today or in the program last time. That there's a link between pornography and sex trafficking. Describe that linkage.
Well, of course, people involved in sex trafficking train these women and girls that they force into these sexual acts on pornography. They sit them in the room and make them watch all the pornography in the world, and then they commit those acts on them. So pornography is their training
this
material.
This is wretched stuff.
Isn't it wretched stuff?
Yeah.
It's dehumanizing.
Yes.
It's very disturbing.
But more than that, pornography creates the demand for prostitution and sex trafficking. The men who go to those lengths to have sex with someone outside their marriage, they have consumed so much pornography, it's broken down their inhibitions, and now they're ready for a prostitute. And they don't care if it's a sexually trafficked adult or child. Pornography will do that to you.
How widespread is sex trafficking in the United States? I know it's terrible in the Philippines and other places. How about here?
It's very widespread. And what will shock the audience is there's an anti-trafficking group, Renewal Forum, that had a PhD do a peer-reviewed study on all the peer-reviewed studies on the numbers of those children who are involved in sex trafficking in America. And the numbers range from 170-some thousand to better than 300,000 children in America involved in commercial sex, i.e. sex trafficking.
Wow. You know, I can hear the parent out there who's listening thinking, well, you know, I know it's out there, and I know pornography's out there, and I know sex trafficking's out there, but, you know, I don't see it anywhere, and I don't see evidence of it anywhere. So is this really something that I should be concerned about? Can you talk to that parent, please?
Sure. Every parent has to be concerned about the effect of pornography on their family, on themselves, and on society at large. And they do see it. I mean, you go to foxnews.com, and they try to entice you with these sexualized images, and you go there, and then a pop-up comes to a porn site. So it's just put on us no matter where we are. If you don't see trafficking, you're not looking in the right place, and I don't encourage you to go look there. But it's all over Craigslist, and half your audience uses Craigslist. It's an online trading site. It's on various other sites. And prostitution in America has mostly moved from the streets to the internet. There are so many websites about this. And when guys are looking at pornography, what are the pop-ups? The pop-ups are for prostitution and other porn sites, and that's where the traffickers know to place their ad.
And sex toys and many other products associated with this
yes,
activity.
Yes, and pornography is just taking over a large segment of society. And it's time we say enough, Jim and Meg. It's there's a willingness in the public that I haven't seen in years to say no more. And
no
people
more.
Are jumping onto the efforts that we have and others have to stop it.
Well, jumping on is a good segue here because the Department of Justice that you were part of in the Reagan administration and after is doing nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. Is it time that they heard from at one point when I dealt with pornography during the, and after the Pornography Commission, I sent 80,000 letters to the Office of the Attorney General. Is it time for parents to say, do something?
Yes, I think it's time to do that. And not just to the Department of Justice, but what we tell people is look around you. You're shopping at Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble is a pornographer. They have lots of pornography. You're shopping at Amazon. It's a pornography site. You have Verizon or Comcast as your cable provider. They have illegal, hardcore pornography. We have to take the opportunity all around us to tell those who are forcing this on us, we don't want this in our society. We can make a difference.
You know, I just heard this last week, but almost every cell phone provider also provides hardcore pornography.
Yes, and I'll tell you something, though, Jim, with the number of people who have joined us fighting against these facilitators of pornography, we're making a difference. Do you know that Google, just a week or so ago, announced that finally, after a two-year campaign that we've had, finally they're taking pornography out of their app store for the phones. They used to be able to download porn apps, and kids would download them. And now they aren't going to do that anymore. We put them on what we call the Dirty Dozen list, and they've got thousands of phone calls and letters from parents. I just want to give people hope. We can make a difference if we all band together.
Yeah.
So collective voices change opinion, they change policy, they change advertisers, and they actually do make a difference, don't they?
Yes, they do. And that's why we've got this conference coming up, May 16 and 17. People are coming from all over America. It's called the Coalition to End Sexual Exploitation Summit. And it's all about pornography. It'll tell you everything about it and what you can do about it. And if you're an activist or just a parent, we'd encourage you to come.
You referred to the Dirty Dozen. Who's on that list?
What we do is put the 12 top facilitators of the porn industry on the list. It's not the porn industry itself. So number one on the list, you know who he is. It is Attorney General Eric Holder, who shut down the prosecution section that prosecutes illegal pornography in the Justice Department.
Why would he do that?
He would do that because he's just so far left, he doesn't believe in anything to do with protecting people from pornography. And, you know, you bring this up to him and to people, they just shrug their shoulders. Also on the list is Verizon, because a lot of people have Verizon cable TV service, and that has it's a big porn shop as well. We've got Facebook on the list. Parents are all on Facebook, but they don't realize if you type in the word porn, lots of sites come up. That's where your kids are getting untold volumes of pornography. Mm. And so there's several others. It's all on our website, pornharms.com.
You know, it's almost impossible to do business with corporate America if you want to live a righteous life.
That's right.
I mean, if you want to dig in and say, I'm not going to support any organization that's involved in this stuff, you're going to be paralyzed because it's everywhere.
You know, it is everywhere, but as I said, we're all working together to stop it. You know, last year, on a long campaign to get the military to stop selling porn on the bases, we finally got the Army and the Navy, I think it was, to stop selling porn in the PXs. And that's because of, you know, thousands of complaints and phone calls. So there is a way out of this, and the laws are still on the books.
Yeah.
That's on our side.
Yeah. Well, what about the Air Force? You didn't mention the Air Force.
We still have some work to do, and the Armed Services Committee in the United States Senate issued a report on their sexual abuse study in the military. Sexual abuse is a great problem. They issued a report, and in that report, as a result of our work, they directed the Pentagon to tell them how they were going to and how soon they were going to get pornography out of every base. So there's progress.
Well, and every hotel chain, almost every hotel chain, has the most wretched stuff imaginable.
And it's illegal. It is absolutely.
Yeah.
One prosecution, Jim, by the Justice Department and all these hotel chains would stop. You know, when I was at Justice, there was only one cable or satellite provider that provided hardcore pornography. It happened to be a satellite company. And we prosecuted that one, and then there wasn't any. Well, do you think Comcast or Verizon or these cable providers would be in the business of distributing hardcore porn if you prosecuted them? They don't want their CEO to go to jail. It's like you said, corporate America buys into this because the money's there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that's the bottom line. Unfortunately, there's so much money being made by selling sex to our kids and keeping pornography alive that we got to pull the plug out somewhere.
Well, the only way to deal with it is for the American public to say, we've had enough.
Yeah.
We're drowning in filth. Our children are being harmed by it. Our marriages are suffering. And you're making a profit at it. And I'm not going to support you. Even if you're selective in the ones you go after, it's worth doing. And I agree that Eric Holder is one of the big, big problems. And we should, I mean, I would like to see him not be able to get into his office every day because of the bags of mail that were sitting there.
Wonderful idea, Jim, and I totally support that. And, and you know, these laws are put on the books for our benefit. Who is one person to tell us that that these laws won't be enforced? John Adams said, we are a nation of laws and not of men. Mm-hmm. Eric Holder's turned that around. These attorney generals are, they want to be all for freedom. But look what's happened to our children and our families.
Mm-hmm.
freedom doesn't mean license.
Well, we've been talking today and last time with Patrick Truman, an attorney and the president and CEO of Morality and Media, and a longtime friend. And Patrick, it's about time you got here. That's all I can tell you. And we have common ground between us. This is only one of them. Will you come back?
I would be glad to come back. Honored.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you, Meg.
And if you'd like more information about Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, or to find links to the many resources and websites mentioned on today's program, visit our website at drjamesdobson.org. You can also call us at 877-732-6825. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.